Tabitha Payne is an attorney with the anti-corruption organization Open Secrets. Tabitha, thanks so much for joining us very stealthily and very, not quietly because it was announced, but announcement that, well, there's a 135 million rand settlement in the collusion and corruption that went into the building of the 2010 World Cup stadium, but not much of a public outcry that says, no, but wait, we also want prosecutions to make sure and ensure that those involved are held legally liable and not just, you know, pay back the money. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on your show and for including me in this really important conversation.
Why are we so quick to say, okay, we'll take a settlement from a corporate company? They've paid their dues. They've repaid what they essentially stole or colluded to. And we consider the matter, you know, done with.
Yeah, so I guess the starting point is criminal prosecutions and the NPA's statements, particularly on deferred prosecutions or out-of-court settlements. They are essentially saying that they don't have capacity to prosecute particularly complex corporate crimes. So they are saying, well, at least let's get the profits back or a fraction of the profits back. The crux of the problem with that, though, is that it becomes part of doing business to simply pay back the profits, and that's usually the best outcome. Sometimes it's a minister fine that's a fraction of the profits that are made. So this results in two things. It's either that these are almost seen as costs of doing business, so they're incorporated into, the company's kind of estimates about what kind of risks they are potentially involved in, or it's they just going back to the position they were in before they did the corrupt dealings or whatever it was.
So then an admission by our state institutions, whether it be the NPA, whose job it is to prosecute crimes, the Hawks or Commercial Crimes Unit of the South African Police, saying we don't have the capacity to investigate complex corporate collusion and corruption, and even, well, at least the Competition Commission has been, you know, having this in their focus since 2011 already, but this admission, tacit admission from state agencies, you know, we simply just can't handle massive and complex corporate crimes.
Yes, and that is understandable on one level, but the track record is so abysmal that it actually doesn't make sense in that regard either. And just on the profits issue, because it is very important, and it's the rationale that people are like, well, at least they pay back the profits. But the cost of particularly state capture and other kinds of economic crime is to the public is enormous. The inequality that we see in South Africa is unacceptable, and it's aggravated by the fact that the people that ultimately bear the cost, the social cost of these crimes, are South Africans. And the state saying, well, we just don't have capacity, or at least they're paying back the profits, is not acceptable. They need to actually make some bona fide attempts to hold corporations to account.
And then I guess in broader business and corporate, not just South Africa but around the world, where we see the tightening of, you know, regulatory nooses around, you know, corporates, is that you can simply factor that into the budget. We know that out of 100 million rand contract or project or business deal, we're going to set aside another 20 million because we'll cover regulatory penalties, fines, which we know they're not going to take us to court for, prosecute us for. We'll just pay that. So it becomes part of the overall budget then of completing a project or business deal.
Absolutely, and that also results in recidivism. So that means that companies will repeat their behavior, and other companies will also replicate that behavior. It becomes also a way of doing business. unless you disrupt that and you tell both the politicians but also the companies that they can't actually do this. Because we like to focus on the politicians, and they definitely obviously have a huge role to play in the siphoning off and wasted expenditure of public funds. But likewise, corporations are there in the background making deals and profiting off all of these unlawful corrupt dealings. And unless we disrupt that, and that has to happen through efforts to deterrent efforts, and one of the best ways of doing that is through criminal prosecution. Mm. And if you just allow the company to pay back profits, it's not actually resulting in, for example, debarment. So debarment would be where the company can no longer contract with the state. So it's no longer allowed to participate in procurement with the state. You can also have criminal records of directors. You can have saying that a director is delinquent and then they can't hold similar positions either. If you convict someone of fraud or corruption, they can't hold those positions either. There are a lot of ways to stop these actions continuing. Mm. And unless we do that, we're going to see these rotating doors of politicians and business, where politicians go into the corporate sector and they stay there for a while. They make some networks and then they go back into the public sector, and then they use those networks for various nefarious dealings.
We live in a country, Tabitha, where there's an awful lot of forgiveness for corporate malfeasance. A lot of sentiment that says, oh, a couple of hundred million is nothing compared to the billions that has been stolen. And I can maybe pathologize that a little bit in the vacuum that is left by the absence of the state. It is corporates and business that step in, and that's simply because that, you know, particularly middle class people can afford to to not use public assets and use corporates, and they find, well, that is actually our safeguard in a troubled country. And so there's often a very much a forgiveness. I say, oh, that what they stole is nothing compared to what they steal, you know, in a governmental level, which is just as abhorrent, but we're awfully forgiving.
Absolutely. And I think there's is also an important narrative that's out there. And I think particularly the corporations like to hang on to it, which is putting essentially the needs of people against the backlash of corporations. So, for example, well, if you take serious action against a corporation, then there's going to be job losses and things like that. And first of all, that's not true, according to case studies elsewhere around the world. But also, that shouldn't be allowed to happen. If the cost of the corporation being held accountable gets put onto employees, the employees have a whole range of labor rights to resist that.
Tabitha Payne, attorney at Open Secrets. Thank you. Unfortunately, leave it there.